If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Did you know that MyBookie.com has more than just sports gambling? Oh yeah, they've got an online casino that is amazingly fun to play and can be quite profitable. Want to sharpen some skills for a trip to Vegas or maybe another casino? You want to practice card counting, bet variance, or some exotic strategy you saw on TikTok? MyBookie.com. And of course, there's always the sports. Not just football, which we're all salivating about, but baseball, golf, tennis, boxing, MMA, and a bunch of stuff that you'll say, wait, I can bet something on that? Yes, you can. Get an account at MyBookie.com. Enter promo code ZABE so they know that I sent you. And splash around and have some fun in life, especially after you get that reimbursement check from your sales meeting in Grand Forks, South Dakota. MyBookie.com, the one, the only, the official sportsbook of the ZABEcast. This is the ZABEcast. From the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Here we go. It is a Tuesday, July 29. Thank you for downloading just you and I today as you are looking live at the shadow of mighty Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin, where right now, on my car dashboard as I record from the Russ Darrow Kia Sorento, the dashboard temperature says 94 degrees. Are you kidding me? It is a scorcher up here at training camp. Day number 5. Packers are finally in pads for the first time since arriving in camp. It is my first day of being here. And let me tell you, everyone says, I can't imagine what it's like to have to be a football player and practice in heat like this. It's got to be brutal. And I agree, it probably is. But let me let you in on a little secret. Watching it ain't much fun either. And don't kid yourself. Now, you might say, but fans go and they like to go see training camps, see where it all begins, where the long road to the Lombardi Trophy begins, in the sweltering heat of late July and August. Oh yeah, there was fans there. But let me tell you, as I walked past them on my way to our broadcast perch at 97.3 The Game, your flagship home of the Green Bay Packers, which was nothing more than a card table underneath a very low-slung four-post tent to try to keep the blazing sun off of our guys, I can assure you that the faces and the body language of those fans in attendance was not overly joyed or jubilant or, yay, we're having so much fun. They were there, they were watching, and like all of us, you only get so much out of it. Now, it is fun to be up really close to real-life football players, to guys who have made the NFL, or not made the NFL. Some of them have made it, some of them are fighting to make it. But there was one, I got to see one drill, the punch-out drill, where they were, you know, coaching up the whole Peanut Tillman punch drill, pop the ball out of there, and they were lined up no more than 5 feet away from us, the media, and the VIPs on the sideline. And I got to be honest, it was kind of cool to see NFL players who are incredible athletic specimens with their gleaming, beautiful Green Bay Packers helmets, with all the accessories and some of them with face shields, different types of helmets, although it looks like the Revolution Speed is becoming the de facto helmet, at least of the Packers, if not the NFL. Some of the players did wear the stupid kazoo cushion cap, the Guardian cap. It reduces concussions by 38%. Really? You got data on that? Sure. We'll get right back to you on that. Nobody knows what it really does, but I guess it can't hurt. But to be up that close to guys who have made it to this point of their athletic career is pretty damn cool. That was fun. It was fun to watch them run around. you try to, you know, get a glimpse of, well, who's beating who. They weren't taking anyone to the ground today, but it was full thump, full pad practice. And of course, one of the issues, this is so funny. I mean, it's funny, but it's not funny. The Packers acquired Nate Hobbs, cornerback from the Raiders in the offseason. He was one of their free agent acquisitions. And just 2 days ago, he was sort of admonished in the media and by the coaches for, hey, Nate, let's go easy here, all right? Let's not be Johnny Tryhard. It's just training camp. Well, what does he do today? But he goes low on a hit on running back Marshawn Lloyd, the second rounder out of USC. I think second round. Don't quote me on that. I'm sitting in my car right now. I can't look these things up very nimbly. I've got a damn microphone in my hand and a laptop on my lap, and I'm looking out the window at the neighbors going, are they going to call the cops on me right now? But Marshawn Lloyd coming back from a year in which he pretty much didn't play because of injuries. And Nate Hobbs, who was warned, hey, bro, tone it down, blows him up in a drill. What are you doing, you idiot? Of course, he only had one practice today. That was from about 10 o'clock, or no, about 10:30 to noon, give or take, less than 2 hours, and that was it. Once upon a time, and I'm not talking 50 years ago, Junction Boys, once upon a time, but say 30 years ago in the early 90s, my colleague Drew Olson said, oh, yeah, I remember not just two-a-days, but they would have three-a-days. A two-hour full-team practice in the morning, a one-hour special teams practice around noon, and then another afternoon practice for two more hours. And some of the players were actually also on special teams. And so, therefore, they were practicing three times a day and for more days in a row. That was the late to mid-90s. Now, no team practices like this anymore. It's part of the new collective bargaining agreement. But even if it were not, I am pretty darn convinced that no one team would buck the trend and decide to run their players really hard. The last guy to do that, at least on two-a-days, was Dick Vermeil and the 99 Rams. And I remember watching the America's Game Super Bowl series, and they featured, you know, in that series, in that show, they featured one of the Rams' defensive players. His name escapes me at the moment. It'll come to me, I promise. And he said, look, we had to go in as players during training camp, as players who felt at least strong enough and not so insecure about our jobs. We had to go in as a small group to Dick Vermeil to go, bro. Well, I don't think they said bro, but they said, coach, you're killing us. We can't do this. You're running us into the ground. You got to let up on us. We believe in you. We want to win for you, but this is not productive. Vermeil relented that year, and of course, they then lost starting quarterback Trent Green due to a knee injury deep into the third quarter, I believe, of a preseason game. It might have been the third of four. Don't quote me on that either. But it seemed as if, well, shit, your season's over. Your starting QB just went down. Vermeil's coming off a 7-9 season. His team is bitching about being run too hard in training camp. But then a kid from Ames, Iowa, steps up by the name of Kurt Warner and lit the world on fire. And one of the greatest sports stories ever told was written that year. Of course, had Kevin Dyson gotten 1 yard further with his outstretched arm, it could have been a completely different story, or at least we wouldn't wax poetic so much about the 99 Rams and Kurt Warner. But my main point is this. We knew enough about science and biology and everything else to at least have a hypothesis of, you know, more is not always more. In this case, more practice in August may well be less. But nobody dared to practice less back in the 90s. Or even before that. The NFL is a bit of a groupthink league. And now it's swung all the way the other direction, where Sean McVay was the first coach with the Rams to basically say, preseason, I ain't playing my starters in the preseason, none of them. Now other teams have essentially followed suit. Hell, once upon a time, they would deny you water as a way to, quote, toughen you up when it comes to training camp. Well, what good did that do? Yay, kidney failure. Stupid. But we've evolved. So right now, these guys don't practice that much. What they do practice, you kind of wonder, what are they getting out of this? I'm watching some of the special teams plays, and they're going at about 80% at best. And they kick it off with a jugs gun. Interesting, they don't have the kicker's kickoff, but the jugs gun is more accurate. You can just shoot it wherever you want to shoot it. And the coaches, after the rep is over, start barking out some things as the players all disperse and go back to their positions in line. They're like, hey, get it. And the players seem to be paying attention. But I just wonder, what are they, really getting any coaching here? Are they really paying attention to it, per se? I mean, just whatever. Practice in training camp is a necessary thing. It's necessary. It's not important, though. And as I've said for years now, this cottage industry of those who cover the NFL, over-cover the NFL, are here at training camps, not just in Green Bay, but all over the league, and they report on every little thing that happens, including every pass, completion, touchdown, and more, which Andy and I talked about yesterday, that does not actually matter. Why do they do it? It's simple. It's virtually free. It doesn't cost them anything. If these are, I'm talking about nimble one, two-man, three-man podcast or super fan sites that cover training camp. It doesn't cost them anything to be here. They also get credentialed by the team. And so there is also a race of, well, are you really paying attention to practice? You know, how many tweets can you send out saying, oh, what a great catch by insert wide receiver here or running back X there or whatever. So you get an overcovering of this thing that is a bit comical if you really think about it. But here I am, and I'm in a car podcasting right now on a Blue Yeti microphone that is so 100% going back to the local Best Buy here in Green Bay. I know, you're saying, that's abusive. I forgot to pack one of my many, many, many other microphones that I could have used to do this podcast. I don't know, I just forgot. Whoops. I could do the podcast from inside the house, but I don't want all my coworkers kind of listening in or making noise in the background. It's always about getting somewhere nice and quiet in the car. And of course, I was going to go record this podcast with a wireless lavalier mic, a Hollyland Lark M2S. And I started testing it, and I was like, God, this sounds like shit. I need a better, more proper microphone like this. So I go to Best Buy, and sure enough, even here in Green Bay, Wisconsin, they have some podcasting equipment like these Blue Yeti microphones, and I don't like it. It sounds okay, but it has a proprietary cable, which frustrates me, a proprietary USB to some other connector cable. So if you ever lose it, you're effed. None of the other Bluetooth mics these days use this kind of connector. Also, it's Bluetooth A to Bluetooth C. A being the big fat Bluetooth. Did I say Bluetooth? USB. It's USB A to USB C. And so if you ever lose this cable, you're going to Blue Yeti's website or Logitech's website to get a new one. So it's going back, and I have no shame about it because here's why. Saw a story. I think it's true. Didn't have time to fact check it. What do you mean you didn't have time? You just didn't do it. Okay, I chose to be lazy and not check it. It's almost too good to check. You know how sometimes a story is too good to check? You think to yourself, this has to be true. I need this to be true. Apparently, a man has been ordering 110-pound anvils off of Amazon and then immediately returning them and doing this nonstop for 8 months straight. That is some psycho behavior right there. And apparently he hasn't been shut down by Amazon because of it. Now, again, probably going to send me a link that says, yeah, this has already been debunked as fake. but it looked real. I don't want it to be fake. I want it to be true. I want it to be, hey, here's a guy who's an even bigger return abuser than me. Oh, what's an anvil? You youngins say, well, an anvil is a big hunk of iron meant for crude metallurgy and pounding various pieces of metal, swords, crowbars, tools into the shapes that you want. I'm trying to think what professions exactly use it, but it's a big, heavy thing, and it's got a horn on the end of it, so it's pointy at the end. The anvil was a weapon of unique devastation in cartoons for my youth, and maybe to a certain extent yours as well if you're younger than me, but Wile E. Coyote trying to drop an anvil, Wile E. Coyote trying to drop an anvil on Roadrunner, all-time classic. Somebody also sent me a funny clip of Peter Griffin in Family Guy. When they're having a yard sale, Peter brings out his anvil and he puts it down with a giant clunk. And Lois says, oh, Peter, you selling your anvil? You had such good times with that. And he goes, yeah, I sure did. And he would lift it by a rope on a tree limb, hoping to get somebody to come underneath it so he could drop it. And then inevitably look and go, oh, squirrel, and have it fall on his own head. 110-pound anvil, back it goes to Amazon. I don't even know, like, is there a special heavy delivery unit of Amazon? Do you have to prove you can move 110 pounds, perhaps with a handcart, I guess? Anyone who delivers for Amazon, let me know. So, the big stories of the day, three of them, Christian Wilkins, Emmanuel Clase, and Deion Sanders. Let's start with Wilkins. Christian Wilkins, D-tackle, outstanding talent from Clemson, signed a big contract in the NFL with the Raiders, was waived 2 days ago, and waived without paying what was left of his $32.5 million, the team claiming he violated terms of his rehabilitation from an injury. Now, Adam Shifty Schefter is reporting that it was because Wilkins attempted to playfully kiss another teammate on the forehead and that other teammate was not having it. Guess that's the true no homo, if I've ever seen it. Now, this is all just early speculation, and some are saying that, you know, Schefter probably should have made sure he's got this story nailed down before this even came out to this level. But it wouldn't shock me. The league can talk about how it's progressed a long way in terms of being accepting of homosexuality. And of course, there have been gay NFL players, and there will be more. There's currently some, but it is still not a completely homophobic. It is not a homophobe-free locker room. Let's put it that way in the NFL. So, yes, this would be weird. Now, people are finding things. Whenever the story comes out, the internet, which is always open 24/7, and people who do not forget start coming out with, yeah, you know, there was that time. There was one clip of Wilkins after a victory doing a sort of cheerleader-like pose, and then doing, amazingly enough, a full-blown set of splits, just dropping right down into it from standing position. And for a big, fat, tough guy, that's a hell of a bit of flexibility to be able to do that. A bit flamboyant, sure, but doesn't mean anything, I guess, looking backwards on it. Then there was a clip of Wilkins after a tackle was made and a teammate was entangled with the other team's player. Wilkins goes over and sort of starts grabbing one of the guys, I guess to get him off the pile, but then clearly starts to do a butt cheek squeeze and a grope up another player's ass on the other team, where you're like, wait, what? It was quick, and it didn't become a big thing at the time, but you look at it now and you go, hey, wait a minute. More to come on this story, but it's going to be interesting, and there should be a union fight as well, because you just can't waive a guy and say we're not paying you the $32.5 million based on reports or rumors of a teammate who got playfully kissed on the forehead and you, and they didn't like it, so they reported it to the team. By the way, don't be a snitch. Even if you don't like that or you think the guy is gay and that makes you uncomfortable, A, be better. B, don't snitch. Maybe he wasn't that good either. Maybe they wanted to get out of Christian Wilkins' contract. I don't know. But that's a wild one right there. That's story number one. Story number two, in football, Deion Sanders with his doctors and his team holding a press conference on Monday to announce that he has survived bladder cancer, or at least he is currently on the good side of it. Had to have his bladder removed, said that he was making out a will. Serious, serious stuff. Now, he did not say he was stepping away as coach of the Colorado Buffaloes. Many people, when they saw this announcement yesterday, said, oh, here it comes. Now that Deion's son Shadur is in the NFL, and, well, both sons are in the NFL. I forget where his brother went. I believe he's an undrafted free agent. He's like, I'm good. I'm out. We'll see you later. He's going to invent any excuse like a health scare. Well, obviously, cancer is not a bogus, made-up excuse. That's a serious deal. One of the most serious things you could have, and I think everyone can say, whether Deion's your cup of tea or not, or he's your style or not, you got to be very happy that he appears to be on the good side of cancer. Did you know that MyBookie.com has more than just sports gambling? Oh, yeah. They've got an online casino that is amazingly fun to play and can be quite profitable. Want to sharpen some skills for a trip to Vegas or maybe another casino? You want to practice card counting, bet variance, or some exotic strategy you saw on TikTok? MyBookie.com. And of course, there's always the sports. Not just football, which we're all salivating about, but baseball, golf, tennis, boxing, MMA, and a bunch of stuff that you'll say, wait, I can bet something on that? Yes, you can. Get an account at MyBookie.com. Enter promo code ZABE so they know that I sent you. And splash around and have some fun in life, especially after you get that reimbursement check from your sales meeting in Grand Forks, South Dakota. MyBookie.com, the one, the only, the official sportsbook of the ZABEcast. You know, one of the things I love most about Indeed is that it makes hiring so fast. In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. If you are overwhelmed by the hiring process or you've been struggling to get your job posts seen, listen up. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. Your post jumps right to the top of the page for relevant candidates, so you reach exactly who you want faster. And it makes a huge difference, according to Indeed data. Sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this podcast will get $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the podcast by saying you heard about it right here on this pod. Indeed.com/Charlie Zulu Alpha Bravo Echo. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need. Doesn't mean he couldn't step aside in the near future. And if he does, and if it looks a little bit too convenient, I will not be one of the guys ripping him. Even if he were to leave for no reason, I would still say, hey, you were able, Colorado, to get a really, really hot girl to be your girlfriend for a couple of years. And it wasn't all it was cracked up to be, and you didn't win as much as maybe you wanted to, but you have never had a girlfriend this hot. You had to know at some point that she was probably going to reconsider and say, yeah, this is no longer working for me. It's not you. Don't worry, it's me. It's not you. It's me. It's me. Godspeed, Deion Sanders. Stay healthy. And whatever you decide to do, I, for one, will not criticize. Then there is the Emmanuel Clase story. He has been suspended along with his fellow teammate for potentially gambling or potentially providing information to gamblers about pitches that were supposed to be balls or strikes on the first pitch of outings. A number of these pitches have come up suspicious, and so he's currently being parked in what is the baseball equivalent of the commissioner's parking lot, suspended with pay until they get to the bottom of this. Now, let's be honest. If you don't think that there are players betting on baseball or supplying betting information to those from inside the game, or worse, altering their performance to a degree in order to help other people cash out on prop bets, then you're crazy. Of course they are doing it. And you can say, but why would he risk all of his contract, so much money for a relatively little bit of extra money? Well, here's why. It's because they're not doing it to make more money for themselves. They're looking at the system and saying, wait a minute, you can bet on whether my first pitch is a ball or a strike? Okay. Well, I tell you what, I'm just going to give you a text today and say something like cheeseburger. And when I do, you know, tonight that first pitch is going to be a ball. Bet on it. Bet heavily. Now, you don't do it all the time, obviously, because that would show up as a statistical trend, and it would put you in trouble with getting behind the count in batters in the ninth inning or trying to be a closer. But he's doing it to hook up friends. That's the thing. It's a no-cost, easy thing for him to do to hook somebody up. And if an athlete thinks he knows a way to get over on the system and to get over on the owners in any way, shape, or form, they'll do it. And it's mind-bogglingly dumb because the data comes out and the numbers don't lie. And people start to dig in. For example, Emmanuel Clase has thrown 22 pitches this season with a 0-0 count, with the bases empty outside of the game day strike zone, which I guess would be the box on TV. Not the official strike zone, but it is the, you know, digital strike zone used for entertainment purposes only. Of those, according to those who this guy that tracked them, 11 of them were deemed uncompetitive, meaning they are not even close to being a strike. They're one-hoppers, they're fastballs at the eye, that kind of thing. That's half of them. Now you might say, well, okay, so he's nervous. It's his first pitch. It's 50-50. Yeah, but again, he wouldn't be doing it on purpose every single time because he would think, well, I'm going to hook my friends up who are going to bet on this thing, and I'm just going to do it every other time, but I'll let them know when it's on. How can they trace it back to me? How can they prove that I'm doing this? Well, they don't have to prove anything yet. Right now, Clase was going to be one of the top free agent, or not free agent, but one of the top trade possibles. That's been evaporated. The Guardians have no trade value in him anymore because he might get suspended. And it's just dumb. But the numbers are there. Of course, the hypocrisy is such that, you know, first of all, one more number on this front. Because it's baseball, people. There's more access to data than ever before. If something fishy is going on, and God forbid if a teammate has already been parked because of very suspicious pitches, then you're probably not going to get away with it either. Clase has come into the game at the beginning of the ninth inning 40 times this year. Here is what the StatCast waste percentage pitch count was, or waste percentage. This would be pitches that are not close to the zone. Oh, you're wondering, where do they keep track of this? Of course, StatCast, FanGraphs, all these baseball nerd sites. The first pitch of the ninth inning has a waste rate with Clase of 17.5%. It's pretty high. What is the waste percentage of every other pitch? 5%. Just speculating, says Foolish Baseball on Twitter, but this is how Luis Ortiz, his teammate, got flagged. Now to the hypocrisy of it. This one from Adam the Sports Fan. Cancel me for this take, but I find it very hypocritical that players are getting leaves for supposedly betting, and yet you can turn on Sunday Night Baseball and hear Carl Ravitch and Eduardo Perez discuss the DraftKings parlays of the game that they are broadcasting. Now, I don't know if they actually say, well, I've got this as a parlay, and what do you got, Eduardo? They might just be reading a promo for Bet on the Game. Of course, this is a big, huge chunk of revenue that has come into baseball. It's split 50-50 down the middle. So if, say, FanDuel's deal with the MLB is $200 million, it's $100 million to the owners, $100 million into the players' pool, not a bad deal. But it's not directly to anybody on the player side of it, and so they might feel like they're getting a little bit jammed up on this. More hypocrisy when it comes to this, and double standards, if you will. It's even crazier now, says the Beer Kid 69, that Ohtani's case was open and shut in like 48 hours. Even when it involved tens of millions of dollars, illegal bookies, and dozens of six-figure wire transfers, while they've been investigating Ortiz now for 2 months over two pitches, and now they're chasing down his teammates. Yes, it is total hypocrisy, which leads to, I think, the best conclusion of all. Somebody tweeted, I wish more players would follow Ohtani's example. What? Follow Ohtani's example. If you're going to bet on sports, you got to be so good that it will kill your sport just to get caught. While we're on baseball, the commissioner, Rob Manfred, is making the rounds to various teams and clubhouses to try to, he's going to say, educate or begin a dialogue with players about where the sport is headed in terms of a potential hard salary cap. The players want no part of this, especially not Bryce Harper in Philly. When Manfred visited, Harper was quiet for the majority of the meeting, sitting in the chair and holding a bat, this according to The Athletic. He eventually grew frustrated and said if MLB were to propose a cap and hold firm to it, players are not scared to lose 162 games. Well, we'll see about that. It's been a while since we have stress tested the possibility of a long labor stoppage in baseball. Some, after seeing this news today, are saying, oh, God. We're not even going to have a 2027 season. It's ride this year out, play 2026, and then good luck. Sources say Harper then stood up, walked to the middle of the room, faced up to Manfred and said, if you want to speak about that, you can get the fuck out of our clubhouse. Might have happened. Might have sort of happened. Even if it didn't. Sounds pretty spicy. Happy birthday to the big unit, Hannah Waddingham. Guess how old the star of Ted Lasso is, also former star of Game of Thrones. Not star, but a significant role player, to be sure. She, of course, played the evil nun in Game of Thrones as, what was her? Septa Unella. Septa Unella. She was the shame nun. Shame, ding, ding. Shame, ding, ding. Of course, later on in the series, it got even more evil with her before she finally got what was coming to her. Violent stuff that show trafficked in. But it was pretty awesome. I digress. Hannah Waddingham is having herself a late career run where she has become a household name, a global star, when she was sort of just kind of, I don't want to say toiling, but knocking around in, you know, much more anonymity in musicals and other smaller television and movie productions. Game of Thrones, and then most importantly, Ted Lasso, as the heiress owner of the soccer team, playing character Rebecca Welton, she has really become quite well known, and she just has the best attitude. But she is a tall drink of water. 5'11", they say. Didn't say her weight, but she is athletically built. I don't think it's an insult to call her the big unit. She is the most beautiful, tall woman who is not super skinny, but athletically built, who seems to be perfectly comfortable in her own skin. I've seen her on various award shows and specials, and I'm like, damn the personality on Hannah Waddingham. Pride of Wandsworth, London, England. Wandsworth? Not sure. Of course, she was born in opera and the theater, Academy of Live and Recorded Arts. She is not only statuesque in her appearance, with a great personality to boot, excellent actress who can play a wide variety of roles, like I just mentioned, but you should hear Hannah Waddingham sing. It is spectacular. Happy birthday. She is 51 years old. Easily one of my top-ranked public hotties 50 or older. While we're on women, Aaron Rodgers opened up at training camp in a sit-down with Kyle Brandt of Good Morning Football about life and football and everything else. And first of all, had a great answer to Terry Bradshaw ripping him when it was rumored that he would be possibly becoming a Pittsburgh Steeler. Here was Aaron Rodgers' response to that. I think it is pitch perfect. Kudos, Aaron, for the absolute proper response.
I'm always very amused, Aaron, by your observations of the media. Okay? Everybody's going to get a little squirrely now. Someone had a nuclear take on you. Terry Bradshaw, number 12 from the Steelers. Terry Bradshaw says, Rodgers to the Steelers. I wrote it down because I want to get it right. It's a joke. Stay in California, chew on bark, and whisper to the gods.
Well, I whisper to the gods every single day.
Damn right.
I've known Terry for a long time, okay. being a part of Fox. Terry's a legend. He's an absolute legend. He won 4 Super Bowls. He's had a legendary career in the media. But Terry, like a lot of people, doesn't know me. And so he's got an idea of what he thinks about me based on what I've done, the documentary, what I've said, mm-hmm. Darkness Retreat, whatever the hell mm-hmm. you want to talk mm-hmm. about. I'd love to get to know Terry on a deeper level. And I feel like if he gave me a chance to get to know him, then we'd have a good friendship. Because for me, I have nothing but the utmost amount of respect and deference for what the greats have done. Because they laid the foundation for us to be able to play in this great game, to be paid like kings, and to carry on the tradition of excellence that guys like the Bradshaws of the world in the 70s and Bart Starr in the 60s and Lombardi and Joe Montana and Steve Young and Troy Aikman and mm-hmm. Brett Favre and all the greats that have been over, Tom Brady, you know, we're standing on the backs of those guys. And it's because of how they played and how they carried themselves that we're able to have this opportunity to still play this great game, to get paid really well, to set ourselves up for our future. So I'd love to get to know Terry on a deeper level if he's open to it, and maybe we can go chew some bark or whatever the hell he's talking about together.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
So that was responding to Bradshaw. When Kyle Brandt brought up his personal life and his marriage to this mysterious Brittany, who has an I for her last name, or for her name, Brittani, with a dot on it. No doubt she does a heart on that from time to time. You gotta. Nobody's ever seen Brittany. Nobody knows her last name. Nobody knows who she is. Rodgers' own family, who he is estranged from, oh, by the way, said they were not at any wedding or ceremony, and they don't know anything about this mysterious woman either. But man, did Aaron Rodgers gush about her. Take a listen.
You showed up and said you got married in the offseason. How does it change how you feel as a man, and how might it affect your play?
How much time do you have?
Whatever you want, buddy. It's you.
You know, when you meet the right one, yeah, and you're with the right one, your whole world changes in a second. And to have that person that unconditionally loves you behind the scenes, there's no better feeling in the world. And I got the most incredible wife. I just really love her, and I'm so thankful to have her by my side at the end. When you have that stability and that rock behind you at the house, you feel like you can do anything.
So, look, it's quite possible that Rodgers at some point will go to some awards show with Brittany with the eye in tow. Or he'll let it be known, okay, here's who she is. He says she didn't call for being in the spotlight. She's a very low-key private person. But, I mean, how long can you keep this up? With every utterance and discussion about her, and with no photos yet to date of the two of them together even once, holding hands in the grainy distance of the gloaming of a Malibu sunset on the beach, without a single photo of that, it's like, really? Did you really get married? Oh, yeah, no, she's great. Love of my life. Can we see her? No. And we're moving on. Did you see the couple that was doing some naughty things at Yankee Stadium? This, of course, has gone viral in the otherwise dead zone known as summer in sports talk radio. But it was interesting because a boyfriend in a Phillies hat, of course, Phillies, was with his girl in the upper deck, sitting there with his arm on her lap. But wait a minute, that's not on her lap. It doesn't look like it. Looks like it might be somewhere else in the... Wait a minute. She begins to then make movements in a rhythmic pattern. And then at one point, you can clearly see her whole body convulse. And she begins to let out some noise, to which he quietly, shh, shh, shh. So, of course, people are having a field day for it. I just love the terminology. Can I get your best term for this act, please? Because there's some ones that I've never heard. Like plucking your girl's feathers at a baseball game is insane. Or, wow, the gall to finger punch her stink box while sitting there watching a baseball game in public. Someone else said, imagine resetting your girl's router while you're trying to watch a Yankee game. Resetting her router. That's a good one. Are there any others you know of that I need to know? And then I'll be fine. Finally, your walk-off tweet of the day. I promised I would do this, and I've, of course, broken my promise. But while I remember on these solo podcasts to give you one walk-off tweet, somebody posted a picture of a standard aluminum napkin holder. You know, those rectangular box with the napkins full facing in the front. But here was the caption. Convenient napkin dispenser lets you grab either a handful of 60 napkins or tear off a small corner of one. The choice is not yours. So damn true. Of course, the guy who designed that was probably pretty proud of it, saying, I nailed it. Look at this. You just take a big stack of napkins, you press them here in, there's a stack, and then when somebody wants one, just grab it and pull one out. You're good to go. Nope. Either 60 or one corner of one. And no, you have no idea what you're going to get. All right. I hope this podcast met your standards. I retreated to my car in the air conditioning, in the shadow, literally, of Lambeau Field, away from coworkers. I bought a Blue Yeti microphone. It's going back, but still, maybe it'll grow on me. I doubt it. But I do this for you people. I'm always here, out here, for you, giving you podcast content most of the time. Now, I'm going to Scotland next week to golf. I cannot guarantee how much I'm going to deliver podcast-wise next week, but we shall see. Thanks for listening. Normal week ahead. Scott and Sally coming up on Friday. Charge as well before the week is out. Probably one more of just me here at Lambeau Field. There's a lot of good material still out there. And if there's anything else that you see that you want me to comment on, by all means, shoot me an email at zabe@yahoo.com. Thanks for listening. Tell a couple friends, and we will see you next time. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up.